Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, IDSers, and welcome to the 2013 4th of July, God Bless America, spectacular IDS episode. I've got a special guest. Brad Oxenham's joined me to celebrate the 4th of July and the birth of America.
You can't see it, but I've got a sparkler in my hand.
Well, it's not where he had it before. all right, so welcome, Brad. How are you? How's the 4th going to be treating you? Doing well?
Yeah, it's treating me fine. We're doing a lot of yard work at this time at my house, so we're making it nice and pretty. So we'll actually have someplace really nice to spend 4th of July, hopefully.
Well, do you get into the, are you full-spirited 4th of July fireworks and
I like going to
displays
see fireworks.
And everything?
I like going to see fireworks. The couple of times that I've gone... the last few years, it's just been busy during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, like, around the 4th, I usually work. And then I go home and I'm like, okay, it's an early night. Let's go to bed. And then the fireworks keep you up until midnight. And that's okay. But we had this one year I'll never forget, though. We did get to go downtown. We went to East Nashville and stood at this one little, like, library. And just from the parking lot, watched the fireworks over the river. And that was just beautiful.
Right, right.
It gets you in the spirit. But
when I was growing up as a boy in Illinois, we went up to Springfield, which is the capital of Illinois. And so we went up to a big fireworks display and everything else, right? And so we're sitting there, and you know, they have this, I don't know if it was an actual symphony, but you know, they had Sousa playing and you know, all this kind of stuff. And the fireworks going off, doom, doom, doom. You know, everybody's going, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Then the wind changed. So then all the hot casings of the fireworks that had exploded were now blowing over the audience.
Oh, God.
So we were looking up and go, ooh, ah, oh, because this flaming piece of paper cartridge thing comes falling out of the sky and everybody runs flailing, trying to save themselves from certain doom. So anyway, yes, 4th of July is pretty awesome.
We had similar things down when I was growing up in Mississippi. It was, although not quite as grand as a bunch of people around avoiding fire, as so much as just us on a street avoiding fire that was coming right at us.
Yeah.
So we always had the few people that decided to lay a firecracker or a firework down on its side and then just run like hell.
Right, right. Yeah, no, we, yes.
And that was my church trip, by the way.
Well, it is Mississippi.
Hey.
But now I can say that. I lived in Mississippi.
Okay,
too.
Okay.
All right.
Then you're
yeah, Roman candle wars. We've had those growing up. Fire them at one another. Yeah. Yeah, we used to light them up and hold them with gloves and put sunglasses on and shoot them at one another.
I never got that rowdy, thank God.
Well, what was funny, though, is, of course, Illinois may still be, but anyway, Illinois is one of the states, when I was growing up, that you couldn't have fireworks, real fireworks.
Sure.
You know, everybody had them, but you weren't supposed to have them.
Yeah.
You know, because they'd go to Missouri or Kentucky or somewhere and go and buy a bunch, but anyway.
Okay.
So, but you could buy smoke bombs and that sort of thing at Walmart or the drugstore, you know, to have your firework experience.
Oh, like the snakes that you like burn and they just burn and fizzle out. Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
well,
so
they put
fun.
They put two of these smoke bomb things that were probably about 6 inches tall and about maybe a half dollar round to that circumference.
Oh.
Just smoke. So I lit it and set it in our front yard. Didn't think, you know, oh, look, pretty, pretty smoke. But it just kept coming. I fogged the entire neighborhood.
Oh, it was just... wow. Awesome. We're going to do this again, right? So this year, we're going
to
try
I'm
going
to have to find that stuff, yeah. But it was pretty funny. So that and my other, it was post 4th of July fireworks story is we had... friend of mine had bought a gross of bottle rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, you know, after the fourth, we're lighting them off, trying to just shooting them up. I mean, he had hundreds of them, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we're using matches to, mm-hmm. to light the bottle rockets.
Yeah.
And so light, wave, match, throw it. Mm-hmm. Pew, pow. Oh, that's cool. Light, match, wave, you know, wave, throw apparently wasn't done. hit the grows.
Oh,
and no. Every one of them went off.
Oh no.
We had our own sort of Apocalypse Now moment. It's just bottle rockets are bouncing off of us. We couldn't even run because there was nowhere to go.
Oh really? Oh my god.
So I just covered my eyes and kind of hunched over, and they were just bouncing off of us and exploding and stuff. And I mean, they went everywhere, and there was with the smoke cleared, there were little red sticks all over this backyard, in the neighbor's yard that had a fence,
oh,
you know,
wow.
up on somebody's roof. It was just,
oh man,
it was a little crazy. It was crazy times, but that's all part of 4th of July. So other things we're going to get into is some favorites, secret treats, but we're also going to have a recitation of The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but... What's a quintessential Oxnum 4th of July picnic dish?
Well, outside of your general, like, you know, we grill out hamburgers. We
No. What's your specialty?
The specialty? That would have to be red skin potato salad.
Red skin potato salad from a boy from Mississippi. All right.
Yes, indeed. So, basically, what we have for red skin potato salad. It's
now, this is the best red skin potato salad of all red skin potato salads.
No question. Absolutely. Okay. Oh, just make every potato salad you've ever had just become mush.
So wow.
Basically mashed potatoes instead of potato salad. That's what it'll be. It would be mashed potatoes with some mayonnaise in it.
Wow.
This potato salad will knock your socks off.
Okay, well, let me have it. What's the recipe?
Well, the recipe calls for 2 pounds clean, scrubbed, new red potatoes. Gotta be new.
Mm.
Don't get the old stuff.
Mm-hmm. Clean.
Very clean.
Freshly scrubbed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Freshly scrubbed. Skin them ever so slightly.
Right. Delicately.
Very delicately. Mm-hmm. Smooth as a baby's butt.
Mm-hmm.
6 eggs. 1 pound bacon.
Now, there's the secret right there.
Yes, that's
one
right.
1 pound of bacon.
It can't be potato salad without bacon.
You can't go wrong there. You just add bacon. The rest of the bacon could be anything else, you
that's
know?
Right.
But you have a pound of bacon.
Throw the potatoes away and
you
have bacon.
You'd have a Miracle Whip and white bread as long as there's a pound of bacon. Okay.
1 onion, finely chopped.
Mm-hmm.
So no big chunks of onion.
Right, right.
And I'm not a big onion fan anyway, so you want that very delicately chopped. 1 stalk of celery, again. Finely chopped.
Well, it's the negative calories.
Mm-hmm.
Offsets the bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got your healthy, you got your unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Moderation.
Or if you want to go to, like, you know, a health food store, get you the non-nitrate bacon. That'd work too. 2 cups of mayonnaise.
Oh.
Now, I'm not the biggest mayonnaise fan in the world, but I do like mayonnaise in certain things, and one of them is this potato salad.
Could you use Miracle Whip?
You could use Miracle Whip. You could use Veganaise if you want. You could use
the... Veganaise and bacon.
Yes, Veganaise and bacon.
Why not?
Hey, it works.
It's your party.
It's something different. Salt and pepper. You can add as much as you want. Just make sure you paste it throughout. Make sure it's not too salty, not too peppery. You want to get just enough spice and just enough flavor from the salt to make it just so fine.
Well, depending on the type of bacon you use, you may not need that much salt.
True. But you always want some salt because salt brings out that very, very good flavor of the mayo and the bacon and the potatoes and the eggs especially.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, to actually mix all these together, these are the directions. You bring a large pot of salted water to boil. Add the potatoes. Cook until they're tender. Tender enough that you can squeeze them. But you still want them to keep them firm. Basically boil them about 15 minutes. So after they're done boiling, drain, set in the refrigerator to cool. Now you take your eggs. Place the eggs in a saucepan and cover them with cold water. Bring the water to a boil and immediately remove the heat. Cover the eggs, let them stand in the water for about 10 to 12 minutes, then remove the hot water, cool them, always important, cool them first before you peel. Peel the eggs and chop the eggs really fine. Here's where the good stuff comes in. Place the bacon in a large, deep skillet. Cook over medium-high heat until it's that nice, evenly brown, kind of golden, or not golden color, but that ruddy color that you love with bacon.
Right.
If you want it extra crispy, go ahead, but I like my bacon a little chewy. After that, of course, drain your oil.
Burn your pork.
Yeah, don't want to burn your pork. Drain it, crumble it. I know this is going to be hard, but set it aside. So you may want to test the bacon.
You may need a pound and a half of bacon.
You may need a pound and a half of bacon, but please don't save the chopped bacon or save the fried bacon right now just for the potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
Now take those potatoes out of the fridge. Chop them up, but leave the skin on.
Mm-hmm.
Now get a large bowl, add the potatoes to this bowl. And along with the eggs and the bacon and that finely chopped onion and the finely chopped celery, add mayonnaise, add the salt, add the pepper, mix it all up, really get your hands in there, use gloves, although in Mississippi we didn't use that many gloves.
You gotta get the special Oxnum flavor.
That's right.
In there.
You do. It's a very earthy flavor. Once you're done, chill for an hour, and then serve it with your favorite hot dish, like your hot dogs, your hamburgers, anything that could use a good, healthy dose of potatoes, bacon, and mayo.
Wow, that sounds good. You know, and I've got to. We're gonna be. Responsible here at the Inexplicable Dumb Show, and we've given you this great red potato salad recipe, and it's only fair that we match that with an alcoholic drink.
Oh,
so my family,
mm-hmm.
we like to drink, and so have you ever had a Yankee Doodle?
No, I have not. What's a Yankee Doodle?
Yankee Doodle's very easy.
Okay,
it has to be for a bunch of drunks. All right, so you want Yankee Doodle is one part UV blue raspberry flavored vodka.
Okay.
Two parts sour.
Okay.
One part tonic.
Mm.
Combine and serve over ice. Simple.
Very
and refreshing.
Does it make the stripes?
No, but it kind of just has a bluish tone to it.
Oh, cool.
So it goes with, you know, the red potatoes, the blue drink.
Oh, I like it.
It's called a Yankee Doodle. So a couple of those and you'll go to town for sure.
With a couple feather. Of those and I'll be doing my own Roman candle fights. <on the yard. laughs> Come here, honey.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The flames will start after a couple of Yankee Doodles. Well, speaking of Yankee Doodles, here we go with The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Now, you said you had to memorize this.
I did. At least the first part of it, but... if I memorized more than that, I can't. It was like sixth grade.
Okay. All right. So here we go with the plausible deniability or whatever it is. Okay. So here it is. The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friend, "If the British march by land or sea from the town tonight, hang a lantern aloft in the belfry arch of the North Church Tower as a signal light, one if by land, and two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be, ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm, for the country folk to be up and to arm." And then he said, "Good night," with muffled oar, silently rowed to the Charleston shore. Just as the moon rose over the bay where swinging wide at her moorings lay the Somerset, British man of war, a phantom ship with each mast and spar across the moon like a prison bar, and a huge black hulk that was magnified by its own reflection in the tide. Meanwhile, his friend through alley and street wanders and watches with eager ears, till in the silence around him he hears the muster of men at the barrack door, the sound of arms and the tramp of feet, and the measured tread of the grenadiers marching down to their boats on the shore. Then he climbed the tower of the old North Church, by the wooden stairs with stealthy tread, to the belfry chamber overhead, and startled the pigeons from their perch on the somber rafters that round him made masses and moving shapes of shade, by the trembling ladder steep and tall to the highest window in the wall, where he paused to listen and look down a moment on the roofs of the town and the moonlight flowing over all. Beneath, in the churchyard, laid the dead in their night encampment on the hill, wrapped in silence so deep and still that he could hear, like sentinels tread, the watchful night wind as it went creeping along from tent to tent and seeming to whisper, "All is well." A moment only he feels the spell of the place and the hour and the secret dread of the lonely belfry and the dead, for suddenly all his thoughts are bent on a shadowy something far away, where the river widens to meet the bay, a line of black that bends and floats on the rising tide like a bridge of boats. Meanwhile, impatient to mount and ride, booted and spurred with heavy stride, on the opposite shore walked Paul Revere. Now he patted his horse's side, now he gazed at the landscape far and near, then impetuous stamped the earth, and turned and tightened his saddled girth, but mostly he watched with eager search the belfry tower of the old North Church. As it rose above the graves on the hill, lonely and spectral and somber and still, and lo, as he looks on the belfry's height, a glimmer, and then a gleam of light. He springs to the saddle, the bridle he turns, but lingers and gazes till full on his sight a second lamp in the belfry burns. A hurry of hoofs in a village street, a shape in the moonlight, a bulk in the dark, and beneath from the pebbles in passing a spark, struck out by a steed flying fearless and fleet, that was all. And yet through the gloom and the light, the fate of a nation was riding that night, and the spark struck out by that steed in his flight kindled the land into flame with its heat. He has left the village and mounted the steep, and beneath him, tranquil and broad and deep, is the mystic meeting the ocean tides, and under the alders that skirt its edge, now soft on the sand, now loud on the ledge, is heard the tramp of his steed as he rides. It was 12 by the village clock. When he crossed the bridge to Medford town, he heard the crowing of the cock, and the barking of the farmer's dog, and felt the damp of the river fog that rises after the sun goes down. It was 1 by the village clock when he galloped into Lexington. He saw the gilded weathercock swim in the moonlight as he passed, and the meeting house windows, blank and bare, gaze at him with a spectral glare, as if they already stood aghast at the bloody work they would look upon. It was 2 by the village clock when he came to the bridge in Concord town. He heard the bleating of the flock, and the twitter of birds among the trees, and felt the breath of the morning breeze blowing over the meadows brown, and one was safe and asleep in his bed, who at the bridge would be first to fall, who that day would be lying dead, pierced by a British musket ball. You know the rest, in the books you have read, how the British regulars fired and fled, how the farmers gave them ball for ball, from behind each fence and farmyard wall, chasing the redcoats down the lane, then crossing the fields to emerge again, under the trees of the turn of the road, only pausing to fire and load. So through the night rode Paul Revere, and so through the night went his cry of alarm to every Middlesex village and farm, a cry of defiance and not of fear, a voice in the darkness, a knock at the door, a word that shall echo forevermore, for born on the night wind of the past, through all our history to the last, in the hour of darkness and peril and need, the people will waken and listen to hear the hurrying hoofbeats of that steed and the midnight message of Paul Revere. The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America. Happy 4th.
That's a detergent. Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.